Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group joins us on another green day on the markets. Craig, it's almost like clockwork. We book you and the markets turn green. We got to get you on every night.
Listen, I should be your co-host. Everyone's 401k would turn into a 501k, but who's not excited about inflation dropping for the sixth consecutive month?
You know, what's funny is last night I was reading the expectations numbers, and I put out a big, you know, flashing red light of warning, don't, you know, always buy the expectation, and then all the numbers came in exactly where expectations are, which is probably rarer than normal, but let's break them down. I mean, this is a pretty good report, right?
I thought this report was absolutely solid. And to your point, John, invoke your inner trader, your kindred spirit, you know, buying the rumor and selling the news. That's typically what Wall Street does. But that wasn't the case today. And I know what America is thinking as they listen to our dialogue. They're saying, wait, how are we celebrating that inflation is down? Because year over year, this sucker is still incredibly high, 6.5% versus 7.1%. But the reality is, this is really the second time in a row recently that the numbers have come in right on consensus. And you know what that means? Wall Street hates surprises. Maybe we're at that point in time that the data is no longer going to continue to surprise, and that's good for everybody. And that's why the VIX or the volatility has really dropped back to relative what I call pacifier levels.
And my blood pressure as well. But when you look at the month-to-month numbers being down 0.1%, essentially saying that prices actually went down, of course, you don't want that over the long term for 1 month after high inflation. I'm sure it's a welcome sight. I did see some chatter out there, Craig, and tell me if these people are crazy or not, a little concerned that things might cool too fast, meaning not that we don't want to bring inflation down, but is there some symptom of something else happening underneath the current that could point to something more dangerous in the coming months? Do you kind of see what I'm asking?
Well, I heard some stuff on the fringes too, but the reality is those fringes might be coming from the shorts, and the shorts are definitely getting squeezed. That's trader talk. But here's what it is at the end of the day. Is there probably something brewing out of left field that no one sees coming? Sure, aliens could invade Los Angeles at any time, but that's why I'm in Chicago. I mean, when was the last time you saw aliens invade Chicago, John?
Yeah, not even an Independence Day. They skipped over us.
Yeah, they skip right over us. So I think, I don't want to sensationalize it. I really do think we're okay. And again, Wall Street and investors and all economists like slow, gradual change. So while I want inflation to come down, I realize that inflation coming down gradually is much better than it just dropping off a cliff.
And the jobless numbers, too, I want to dive into those in just a little bit. But Craig, before we take this little break, I just want to mention, I've been, you know, tracking the price of eggs, which, of course, there's a lot going into the price of a dozen eggs. You have the bird flu instances, a lot of shutdowns and all that. But this is like the outlier. A dozen eggs, Craig Bolanos, $4.25. That's insane.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, maybe that's why every time I go to the diner, everyone's back to having a pancake stack and not doing a three-egg omelet.
There's just little things here and there, I guess you could say. They don't all go down in unison. You're going to see these other spikes. I just wanted to point that out because I know people on the text line are upset about the price of eggs. We'll get to more with Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group on the line. And Craig, I got a great text from Catherine out of Naperville. She paid $6.99 for a dozen eggs and says maybe she should buy a chicken. You know, that's not a bad idea, Craig.
You know what? A chicken, a little bit of a chicken coop. I mean, I don't know. Those roosters can get a little feisty, though. And last time I checked, you probably want both. Well, maybe. Depends on your plans.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll talk to a management advisor about your chicken plans. When we talk about, we've been talking about inflation, the cooler reports, that's all good news. I think everyone agrees on that. Is there any red flags, flashing red lights, or is oil prices concerning you right now, or are we kind of in a calmer world right now, at least than we were for most of last year?
No, I don't think oil prices in any way, shape, or form, I don't think commodity prices in any way, shape, or form are actually scaring anybody right now. As I mentioned earlier, the volatility is really down. We're under 20, called 18. Again, that's market talk. But when we take a look at what good old-fashioned West Texas Intermediate crude at $78 a barrel, I got to tell you, that feels about right. I know it's frustrating, though, for so many consumers. I am certainly one, because we're seeing all these wholesale prices, these spot prices, continue to come down, but they're not necessarily making its way at the retail level when we spend our money. That's just a function of time. Free markets are eventually going to get to equilibrium, and I think when we're visiting again later this fall, everything's going to be in a much better position.
All right. When we look at where we go from here as well with the Fed, I know that's kind of where our eyes start to pivot next. They've got some data points now out. I think the consensus is what, a quarter point basis rise in rates? Is that still what the markets are betting on?
Oh, emphatically. The markets are 95% certain. It's rare that anything is that certain, but the market's saying we're going to go ahead, come on February 1st, get another 25 basis points, one quarter of 1%. And I know that's not welcome to everybody with a credit card, a home equity line of credit, et cetera. But if we can get a quarter basis point hike on February 1st, follow it up with another quarter point hike in March, and then have the Fed sit with it to see the effect, I think that's as close to nirvana at this stage in the game that we can get.
Yeah, I mean, when you really think about it, these little quarter points, half points, three quarters points, I mean, they go over people's heads. I think a lot of people, especially listeners on this show, they know what they mean and how they permeate down to what we pay. But when you really think about it, the Fed just has this real blunt object for what to do. So sitting and waiting may seem like doing nothing, but in reality, sitting and waiting is a very powerful tool of the Fed. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's going to really tell them what their impact has been, because we have not quite felt it yet.
No, that's right. I was speaking with a colleague the other day, and he had said to me, do you really think the Fed should even raise rates in February? Should they raise rates in March, knowing that the inflation data has been coming down every single month for six consecutive months, and it's only a matter of time between shelter, rents, and housing really start to show up? And my answer is the Federal Reserve can ill afford to be wrong twice. They were completely behind the curve. They missed it. Inflation was so much more stubborn and persistent than they recognized. They've done a great job playing catch up. I think they really need to finish the job. And finishing the job means let's get another rate hike or two in and then sit with it, and time will tell. Time has a way of healing many wounds, doesn't it, John?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to be needed in 2023 to get things back on the proper course.
Right. Inflation, Fed relationships, just your own personal relationships, time truly does heal it all. You get it all on this show and with Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. You do relationship advice too, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. We have a couch in the office, John. You can sit back, put your feet up, and I will ask, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, there you go. 833-WMG-PLAN. Invest with WMG.com, Wealth Management Group. Craig, let's talk about this labor market, because I swear every time we peek at what's going to be coming down the line, whether it's the weekly number or whether it's the government number, the ADP number, everyone's like, oh, it's coming. Here come the layoffs. And I know we're looking backwards a little bit, but every single report, nearly every single report, I should say, comes in below expectations in terms of layoffs. Is it just that it's that we hear of layoffs at companies, but those people are getting rehired immediately? I know labor participation is even up a little bit. Have we built in that this thing's going to come and could possibly never come?
Well, you know, I mean, number one, the Fed did a fantastic job last year. No one liked it, but their goal last year was to talk down the wealth effect. And what I mean by the wealth effect is the less wealthy people feel, the less likely they are to spend. It helps quench inflation. And with bonds down, precious metals down, stocks down, check the box. This year, the Fed is focused on one thing and one thing only, eliminating what could be a wage price spiral. And you're right, the Fed, without saying it, is trying to probably put some people on in the unemployment line, but we didn't see that. Another 223,000 non-farm payrolls, an unemployment rate that edged down from 3.7 to 3.5%, and a labor participation rate that jumped from 62 to 60.3. What that means is no one thinks the Fed can thread this needle. No one thinks that we can have a soft landing, but we did have yet again another piece of strong data. 1 month doesn't make a trend, but oh my heavens, a soft landing, while it's not a probability, it remains a possibility. And again, time will tell.
I got a great email from a listener, Craig, and they specifically requested you to answer this question for them. No pressure or anything. But the idea behind the email is a really great note. And the person said, look, I'm okay with losing some of my retirement. I understand that things go up and down. My 401k fluctuates. But when the markets the last couple of years were going up 25%, you know, I had a conservative portfolio. I was only making 7%. But here I felt the hit this year as much as anyone else for the most part. You know, the bonds, the 60-40 stuff we've talked about in the past. Am I in position to recover it just as quickly as everyone else, or should I really relook at where my money is to make sure that when we do get a rally and regain some of this wealth, which we know we will, that I'm in the best position to regain it back?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, John,
yeah.
But here's what I say to anybody that's listening. If somebody says, I'm heading to retirement, I'm already in retirement, and they feel that they didn't make all the money on the upside, but then they felt that they hit the whammy on the game show on the downside this past year, I understand where that comes from, because typically stocks go down and bonds go where, John?
Up.
They go up, and that did not happen last year. For the first time in 45 years, we truly had stocks, bonds, and all investments go the same way. But the truth is, look at how we've started out of the gate. We have stocks up 3.7% for the year. We've got the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index up 2.8% for the year. So stocks and bonds are both righting the ship, rallying last year's wrong. And I think what someone should do is, if they have a balanced portfolio that's 60-40, they have a conservative portfolio, whatever it might be, as long as that portfolio was not cookie cutter, as long as that portfolio was designed to achieve a long-term goal backed by a thorough financial plan, I think you need to sit with it. But if you just have investments that aren't backed by a cash flow plan, that's where we need to sit down, go to work, and make sure that we're investing not just to invest, but that we're investing with a very specific purpose. So don't abandon that allocation, but make sure that allocation wasn't simply picked out of thin air.
This topic deserves more than 1 minute. Perhaps we'll get to it another day, but I want to give you a little chance. Are you worried about a showdown about the debt ceiling from a political perspective?
Ooh, love the question. Wasn't prepared for it, but give me 30 seconds. Ready?
Yeah,
here you
go. Ahead.
We got $32 trillion in debt. We've got a debt to GDP ratio of 124%. And all that means is, last time I read the paper, it says we're spending $210 billion a year, or 15 cents of every dollar the government spends goes to servicing the interest on the national debt. So if you say, am I worried about the size of the national debt? Boy, of course I am. Number two, am I a little bit anxious over Congress getting together and making the right decision to raise the debt ceiling this year? Absolutely I am, because when we played brinksmanship in 2011 and we got downgraded from AAA bonds to AA bonds, was that good for anybody, John?
No.
No, it wasn't. So yes, based on the fact that it took 15 votes to actually elect a Speaker of the House, I'm a little worried things are fragmented. But here's the good news. All of that debt that we have is currently at a rate of 2.07%. That's pretty cheap. But what we need to be very careful of is, we have all this debt, we have a low interest rate on it, but we can't afford to pile that much more on. And I am hopeful that Congress, through some level of bipartisanship, will eventually get to the point that we don't have any massive stimulus plans going forward, because 10 to 15 years out, it's going to have very large unintended consequences. But I have belief that this year, common sense will prevail. There might be a little bit of gamesmanship. We always see that on C-SPAN, but hopefully it's just that, gamesmanship, and common sense emerges at the end.
Nice job there, Craig. We appreciate it. Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group, invest with WMG.com. Craig, take care, okay?
Thank you. Great to be on your show, John.